Who's the man who's able to walk a straight line while being watched by an authority figure? It's a junkie. It's a drunk. It's a compulsive overeater. No, it's Sober Man. Welcome to episode 119, Sober Man Podcast. Formerly Al Berman live from a studio apartment. And it's that time again. It's time for another podcast. And I was just thinking about how much I really enjoy doing these podcasts. I actually enjoy doing them. It's not drudgery. It's not boring, which I think is the same as drudgery. It's, it kind of fulfills, what's the word I'm looking for here? You know, if I'm going to be talking to myself anyway, why not have a microphone in front of me and put it out into the world? That's what I'm saying. I don't talk to myself like this when I'm alone, but I do talk to myself in certain ways, which is none of your business. Sorry, I didn't mean to be rude. Welcome to episode 119, and so that's that. I'm actually going this week coming up in a few days. I will be taking a trip to the Midwest, to Michigan, to see my family, my father, my sister, and my niece, and my sister's boyfriend, who lives with my sister, and my father, and my niece. It's coming up on the year anniversary of my mom's passing, and so I'm going there to kind of be with them, not to kind of be with them, actually to be with them, and I'm spending a few days. I'm spending about 5 days. It might be one day too much. I'm not sure. But I wanted to have 1 day buffer between when my mom's, the actual anniversary of my mom's passing. I didn't want to leave like the very next day. I want to have like a buffer day. A day where I could buffer, would buffer between that and leaving. So it's hard to believe a whole year has gone by. I mean, I know I talked about how fast your time is going last week. But it's strange. I mean, I still think about the whole grieving process is I don't want to say it's a trip. It sounds so shallow. It's pretty. I'm having a hard time articulating. The grieving process is the grieving process, right? And what does that mean? The grieving process is the grieving process. Anyway, I still have moments where I think I should call my mom up and because I always ask my mom, we had a complicated relationship, and as a family, as a mother and son, she was, not the easiest person to get along with, but I would call her up for, advice about hey Ma, the cottage cheese is, expiration date was yesterday. Can I eat it today? She was like, of course you can eat it. I don't pay attention to its expiration dates. And then I realized it's because she didn't grow up with expiration dates. That's part of my era, part of the era of, people suing each other. And so I do miss that. And I miss my mom, obviously. And not obviously. Why is it obvious? All right, I'm going down a road that's not very funny, huh? Okay. And my mom wouldn't appreciate that. If I'm doing a podcast, she would say it. She would say to me, you better do a funny one. And that's how she would say it. So I'm going on a trip. And boy, did I not get a deal on my ticket. Holy mackerel. I am paying up the wazoo. Up the wazoo. So I'll be reporting back on my trip when I come back. And I'm going to skip next week doing the podcast because I'm not going to have my gear with me. I probably could record it on my phone, but I haven't figured out. I don't know how I would be able to upload it. That I don't know how to do for my phone. So I would be more comfortable just waiting. And I think you people out there, who are my hardcore fans, you can wait a little while until I get back. You'll be fine. You'll be up. I don't want to tell you to go to other podcasts because I don't want you. I don't want you to go to other. How would you possibly find another podcast to listen to? There's just not any other podcasts that you would. No, it really is. Podcasts have become. It's just amazing. There's like everybody's got a podcast. Just about. I'm going to be on a guest on a podcast soon. I don't know the name of it, but I'll let you know. Which brings up the iTunes store saga. You know, Dwayne, I had thought he cracked the code on the iTunes store. And Dwayne's a very, very smart guy, and he's a techie, and he's, you know, he's starting to do that for a living. And he was working on it, and he figured it out, or he thought he figured it out, came down here the other day, and we followed all the steps to actually get the podcast into the iTunes store. See, they have to, you have to get into the iTunes store. First, you have to submit it, and of course, you have to submit it. What are they going to come to your house and take it? And then they have to approve it, which I don't see where they would have any problem approving mine. Although of all the smack I've been talking about the iTunes store, they might just say, hey, you know what? Screw you, buddy. So we followed all the instructions. We got the artwork, which is the photo of me. If you've seen on my website, there's going to be a picture of me recoiling in horror from the recoiling. You don't need horror if you're saying recoiling. Recoiling from the beer bottle. That picture is going to be in the store, hopefully. Anyway, so he followed all the instructions. He came down, he did it, and we got the picture kind of uploaded. But they, again, and this is after 4 years, I mean, I haven't been doing it continuously for 4 years, but 4 years ago, when I tried to get in there, it says again, invalid URL. And I know I'm not the smartest guy in the world, and I'm not stupid, and I'm not a techie, but I always assume that, I always assumed that a techie would understand that, and Dwayne simply was confused. He said, well, what does this mean? It's not giving me anything specific. Like, what's wrong with this URL? What do you mean it's an invalid URL? And he said, that's like getting in your car and saying, you know, saying, well, my car won't start. But you're not going to, you know, is it the battery? Is it the starter? Is it this? Is it that? You know? So, coincidentally, earlier that day, maybe an hour or two before he came down to my house, I ran into a girl I know, and whose podcast, I'm not going to mention her name just yet, but I will mention it later when I'm about to do a show. So I ran into her in Gelson's, and I was, you know, we're talking about me doing the show, and I said, you know, I definitely want to do it, and she definitely wants me to do it, so we're both on the same page with that. And then I asked her, because she's a really new, pretty new podcast. Are you in the iTunes store? And she said, yeah. And now I really feel like an idiot. I go, how'd you get in? She goes, well, I just joined, Libsyn. Libsyn is a, podcast hosting service that hosts, a lot of the podcasts that are popular, which I had just discovered recently. But didn't realize what she told me next. I didn't realize. She said, they do it for you. Holy mackerel, really? But I had already had plans to meet up with Dwayne that day. And so I ran into when Dwayne came here. Once we figured out that it's not happening, we have made a decision. I've made the decision to join Libsyn. And he's going to help me walk through those steps. And because we're, you know, completely perplexed by this whole iTunes thing. And hopefully Libsyn will be able to get us in there. And it costs a little bit of money per month, but it'll be good. It'll be good because it'll get my podcast in a certain. It'll be in the podcast world. I've been toiling in obscurity here for a few years. Well, more than a few years if you count everything else I've been doing. But I think it's okay. It's all right. I've been enjoying it, and I'm enjoying you. I'm enjoying having you be here with me as people who listen to my podcast. So I don't know if I'm going to have a chance to do this before I go on my trip, or I have to wait till afterwards. Dwayne is busy. We're trying to get together. And as soon as, I don't think once we get together, I think it'll be like pretty 1, 2, 3 about putting it in. And I just don't have the confidence to do this on my own. I am just too nervous and scared. No, I'm not nervous and scared. It's just that I would prefer to have him as a techie to help me. But it made me feel better that, I mean, it kind of validated everything I've been going through with this Fakakta iTunes store. You know, where invalid URL. I mean, come on. Come on, iTunes store. Anyway, so hopefully I'll have some good news to report on that soon. All right. Okay. I was in Gelson's the other day. And, you know, I sing songs to people. I make up little jingles. It's kind of, I am a font of creativity, folks. Whether you know it or not, I am the type of person who has to be creative, I would say almost consistently. If I'm not, then there's something I get, it kind of turns against me and I get depressed or whatever. And so I'm constantly making up little jingles for people, and I have a bunch of different jingles for people at Gelson's. And so I was singing to this one lady there. And then I was walking down an aisle or coming, you know, walking, I'd finished singing and I was walking somewhere else. And this guy looks at me, young guy, and he gives me the smile. He goes, "Hey," and I thought like, wait, he might know me or I might know him, but he didn't look familiar. And I go, "Oh, hi." And he goes, "Hey," he goes, do you sing? I mean, you sing really good. I go, "Oh, thanks a lot, man. Thanks a lot." And I didn't explain to him my vast musical background. Which brings me to, okay, let me just talk about, I was in Gelson's, and I don't know if this was the exact same day, but I ran into this lady, Beverly Mickens, and she's a comedian I know for a long time. I've known her for, 25 years. I met her 25 years ago. We're not super close, but we're good, you know, strong acquaintances. And she's been running a storytelling salon for about 15 years, and she's invited me, and I've, for various reasons, or for specific reasons, above my schedule, I have not been able to coordinate going there. But we run into each other, and we're talking to each other. That's what we're doing. And then I start telling her this. Somehow, for some reason, I started telling her the story about when I first got sober and how I was a Christian for a while. And she said, "That's a great story. I wish you could come and tell that story." And I only told a little bit of it. And I said to her, "You know what? I could come this week. I'm actually available." So she booked me on the spot. Booked me on the spot. And I went there, and it was really, really nice. It's a place I was supposed to do stand up in, like a couple months ago or so, and then the show got canceled. But it's a little art parlor. It's a studio where the lady gives classes in painting. You can buy paintings, I guess, and stuff, and you know, and Beverly has the show there. It's a nice little performance space. They have about, I want to say like maybe 50 chairs set up. It's nice and tight. It's perfect for stand-up. You know, low ceiling, a tight room, perfect. And, but this was not stand-up. And Beverly had specifically made it clear that this is not stand-up. This is storytelling, which is kind of cool because, well, you know, my stand-up is very much like storytelling. Is a lot of it is kind of storytelling-like. And what am I doing here on this podcast? I'm telling stories. So I said I'd be happy to do it. And also, the fact that it's not stand-up took away the extra added pressure of being funny, although it's hard for me to get in front of an audience and not, you know, go down that avenue. And especially with a story like this, it wasn't going to be a serious, you know, depressing story. It was going to be a story about my experience in that world. And I made it clear I wasn't putting down anybody, any Christianity or anything like that. And so I went there and I did it. And in the middle of I got some pretty big laughs. I haven't listened to the tape yet. In the middle of the piece, I sang a cappella something, you know. And when I got done, there was a guy there, a comedian from back in the day, who was just there to watch. He wasn't telling stories that night. And he was like, "Oh, man, you really can sing." You know, people were just telling me, "Hey, you sing really well." And yes, I am a singer. I must say, I guess I am a singer. I've done so much singing in my life. I haven't done a lot of singing lately, except for a little bit of, you know, jingle singing I'm doing. But, you know, I enjoy it. And which brings me to, my friend Deb was talking about, you know, she listens to my podcast and she listened to, what am I saying, you know, again? The last couple ones where I had the last three. There's been the songs of my band, Imitation Life, at the end. And one song in particular she liked, which one I wrote by myself, thank you, called Make a Move. And then she started telling me, just like my friend Mike had told me a couple months ago, how current that sound is, you know, and it was just like... And then I just, you know, realized that I was, because this music is probably about, let's see, 27, I don't know, at least 28, 29 years old. So I was that far ahead of my time. What am I, the Vincent Van Gogh of punk rock? No, because I'm not going to cut off my ear. Or commit suicide, hopefully. Did he commit suicide? I think anybody who cuts off their ear probably is going down the suicide path. But I digress. Anyway, it made me feel good. Not that I was ahead of my time, but it's relevant. Hey, it's relevant. I think it was relevant then. It wasn't like we were doing anything that people were going, "Oh, what the heck kind of music is this?" I think it was kind of in the ballpark then, but it's remained in the ballpark. Sort of like the Beatles. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Don't even compare yourself to the Beatles. Don't even go there.
I wouldn't want to go there.
John Lennon impression. All right, so I was over at Gelson's, and there I pull up in the parking lot, and I remember I was talking last week about the people with the petitions. Well, this time there was a lady, and it was really hot out. There was a lady who was walking through the parking lot, accosting people about. Signing a petition, and I thought that was kind of odd, but she was very compelling. She got my attention with something to do with taxes and spending in California. Made sense. I agreed to sign that petition on the spot, and then as soon as I get done, she tries to upsell me, you know, to do another petition. And I go, wait a minute. And now the sun is really beating down on me hot. And I go, wait, how many petitions do you have want me to sign? She goes, I have two more. I said, no, I'm done. And then I went in the store. And then I was thinking about it. And I told the manager, you know, I said, I don't know if you got somebody in the parking lot. Isn't the petition people supposed to stand in front of the store, not like go through the parking lot? But this particular manager didn't seem to care. But I really don't think it was. I don't think that's a legal thing. You know, God love her and God love everybody. God love her, God love everything. What am I talking about here? Let's see here. I almost got into a head-on collision with a lady in a parking lot. I was driving out. She was coming in. She was going to go into a parking space, which I had no intention of going into. And I'm driving at a slow, normal speed. And she, as soon as I'm about to come kind of, cross her path, she speeds up and almost causes a head-on collision. And then she's like smiling and laughing kind of. And I'm like, and this has happened to me before. I don't understand this. Well, somebody, I was going through a light, and somebody was on the oncoming traffic, was trying to make a left in front of me. Was going to try to make a left, which would cross me. And they almost did it right as I was crossing the intersection. But they stopped, and I looked at them, and they were like, I mean, it's just like, no, I'm sorry. I would be like apologizing profusely, and there would not be a smile on my face if that happened, if I caused that, anything like that. I had a situation, I might have talked about this a few months ago, maybe not, where I accidentally cut off a woman. But it was like, really deep, thick traffic, and she got really, really angry. This African-American lady, she started doing that really loud yelling thing that people do sometimes. And I was like, and she came up on the side of me, she gave me a dirty look, and I was just like, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You're absolutely correct. I just didn't see you, and I apologize. We got married right soon after that. Soon after that, we were married, and we've had several offspring. No. I went to a French restaurant. I took out a couple friends of mine, Leon, who helped me, who was the impetus for starting this sober man aspect of my podcast, and helped me with several things regarding it, and his girlfriend, Erin, who is just got this new job as executive director of a nonprofit theater back in Wyoming. So she's moving back there, and he's probably going to follow in a couple months. But so I took him out to Tex Restaurant, T-A-I-X. It's an old French restaurant. It's been around for like 85, 87 years. And the food is muy bueno. I know that's Spanish, but I think it's French would be très bien. But I had a gift certificate. I'll admit, I won a gift certificate. I'm not going to say how I won it. And I had two, actually. Two $100 gift certificates. And we had this kind of young, good-looking actor-type guy. But he seemed to have a kind of an attitude, and I felt like he rushed us a little bit. And, I mean, Leon agreed with me, but Erin didn't feel rushed. So maybe we were overly sensitive about that, but we had a really good meal. Oh my God, we had and I did not have dessert. I did not have dessert. I had a little bit of stuff that would be normally not in my food plan, but I did not have dessert, and they had dessert, and I think I encouraged dessert. And so when the meal was completed, the guy offered to the waiter server. Asked for my gift certificates because I told him up front that I had them. And he took them, and the bill came to like $115. And he came back and said, we don't give credit back on gift certificates. So I go, oh, okay. Well, I'm not losing $85 worth of free food from you guys. Give me the other one back, and I'll just pay. And I gave him a nice tip, I thought I gave him a nice tip, even though I felt rushed. That was that. Alrighty. So, I did some stand-up this past week. I did some stand-up. Yes, I did. I'm forgetting which week I'm in. Oh, wait a minute. What's today? Today's Sunday. You know what? I haven't done any stand-up since last week, the week before. I may be doing some tonight. I'm still kind of, you know, messing around with the open mics, trying to get my footing in the door. I think I'm questioning. I might have taken too much time off from stand-up, because when you take a lot of time off, it's like really falling off the wagon, like with my food. It takes a while to, you know, once I get on the train, on the wagon train, I'm fine. But sometimes it takes a while. And I think that's the aspect of my journey that I'm on right now. But I have no doubt that it's going to be fine. I'm going to be more than fine with my stand-up. I just, right now, it's a little bit of, it's not that exciting to go to these open mics, because they're mostly just people waiting to go up, waiting to go on. And that's not my idea of a good time. But, oh, by the way, in the Beverly Mickens show, the reading, you know, in case I didn't mention it, it was like, besides the 10 people or whatever, around maybe 7, 8, 9, 10 people that read, everybody else was an audience member, an actual audience member. And they were an older crowd. They were kind of an older crowd. But they were a great crowd. So, you know, this whole, you know, dissing the older people in Hollywood, it's got to stop. They got the money. It was $5 to get in. Everybody paid $5, even the performers. But they had a spread of food. Oh, my God. It was like a, I like to say it's like a bar mitzvah. It wasn't like a bar mitzvah, but it was, they had a lot of food. You know, cold cuts. They had sugar stuff, waters. It was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful. Anyway, okay. That's it. Oh, I've got to, hold on. I got to pause this to check which song I'm going to put on the outro this week. Hold on, please. Harmonica, playing harmonica on the song is Peter Case from the Plimsolls. He was the lead singer of the Plimsolls. He does a very killer harmonica. Anyway, I'm not going to say anything more about it. It's just, I think it's an interesting, it's a fun song. I wrote this song all by myself. Again, just me. I mean, the band, you know, helped arrange it, but it was my song. I brought the song in, you know, and, as opposed to co-writing it. And, so it's called What I Can Do. So enjoy it. So, okay. Thank you, anybody and everybody who listens, to my podcast, this podcast. Please, I was going to say, please tell your friends, but I'm waiting. Don't tell, you know, I mean, you can tell your friends about this if you wish, but I'm going to make the big plea once I get into, the iTunes store. Then I'm going to make my big plea. I guess I'm going on my trip. So, might be a couple of weeks for another one. Maybe I'll do one when I come back, cause I'll be filled with so many things to say. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to, you know, maybe I'll do one, because I'm coming back like Tuesday, but it's Tuesday night. I will see what happens. We'll see what happens, folks. If I record it on a Wednesday, then that might throw my schedule off. We'll just see, you know? I don't have to make that decision now. I'll make a decision later. Anyway, thanks again. Until next time, this is Al Berman, Soberman Podcast. Take care.